Thanksgiving Day intro, take one. Oh, right. My turn. I forgot. Happy Thanksgiving. My name's Terry Gross, and this is take two. Happy Thanksgiving. My name's Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride till I get to the bottom and I see you again.
See you again.
Do you, don't you, want me to love you?
I'm coming down fast, but I'm
miles above you.
Tell me, come on, tell me the answer. Well, you may be a lover, but you ain't no dancer. Look out now, helter skelter. Helter skelter. Helter skelter.
Do you, don't you want me to make you? I'm coming down fast, but don't let me break you. Yeah, tell me. Come on, tell me the answer. Well, you may be a lover, but you ain't no dancer. Look out now,
helter skelter.
Helter skelter.
Helter skelter.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Where I stop and I turn and I go for a ride till I get to the bottom and I see you again. Do you, don't you want me to love you? I'm coming down fast, but I'm miles above you. Tell me. Come on, tell me the answer. Well, you may be a lover, but you ain't no dancer.
Look out now!
Helter skelter. Helter skelter. Helter skelter.
That was the new wave group, The Bobs, performing the Beatles song Helter Skelter. 91FM's own Bob Carlin, interviewed The Bobs, who also performed a few of their songs in our music studio. We'll hear that performance and interview this afternoon on Fresh Air at about 4:15. At about 3:40, Fresh Air's Amy Sallet will speak with humorist Roy Blunt, who writes for The Atlantic Magazine, Esquire, and many other publications. He has a new collection of humor pieces titled Not Exactly What I Had in Mind. First, we'll hear from the jazz vocal duo of Jackie and Roy. Jackie Kane and Roy Crowell have been married and performing together since 1949. They sing jazz and pop standards, as well as more obscure old and new songs that they like to introduce their listeners to. They have recent albums of songs by Stephen Sondheim and Cy Coleman. I spoke with Jackie and Roy last summer when they were in town to perform. Before we hear that interview, let's listen to them sing This Is the Best Is Yet to Come from their album The Music of Cy Coleman.
Just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Till you see that sunshine day, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me up.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me up.
You came along and everything started to hum.
You came along and everything started.
Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're
The Best Is Yet to Come from Jackie and Roy's latest album, The Music of Cy Coleman. We've just heard an example of the kind of singing you do to get together now. Tell me about what you were doing before you met when you were not a singing duo.
Gee, I was just playing piano in a little joint in Chicago with a quartet, alto, drums, piano, bass. And
Were you singing?
No.
Had you sung at all?
Very little. Very little.
I started out in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I was, you know, always singing as a kid, but I finally was offered a job to come to Chicago and sing with a big band. And I was down there for a while working with this big experimental band, which was a lot of fun, you know, very interesting. And one night a friend of ours took us to hear a group at a place called Jumptown on the south side of Chicago, and Roy was the pianist with this quartet. And we enjoyed hearing them, and during the course of the evening, I was able to sit in with the group and sing a couple songs, and one thing led to another, and the club owner hired me to work with the group on weekends. And so that's how we really got to know each other, was working together in this quartet.
How did you start singing together, since you, Roy, weren't really singing?
We heard Dave Lambert and Buddy Stewart doing things with the Gene Krupa Orchestra. They did a couple of things called What's This and That's What and so forth, and we said, gee, that's interesting stuff. We ought to try that. We got two voices. Let's write something for the alto, and we'll sing with the horns. And we did. We started doing it. And so that was how I got into singing.
And then there was a period where Charlie Ventura came to town, and we were presented on a special program by Dave Garraway, who was running concerts at that time at the Morrison Hotel in Chicago. And he hired us as the local group, and Ventura was brought in as the traveling group for this special concert. And when he heard us doing some voice horn things, he became interested in us, and he came out to the club to hear us on another night. And I think with you know, the intentions of possibly asking us to join his group, because I guess he knew that the group was going to break up in the near future. And so when he heard us, he offered us a job and said, would you like to come with us? And we said, sure, you know. And it was an opportunity for us to get, you know, out of Chicago and travel around the country and work with some very good musicians. So we took it. And that's how we started with him.
But then you left that group and went off independently with each other and got married at the same time, too. Mm-hmm. Was the marriage the incentive to put the group together, or vice versa? Or?
What was that?
Was your marriage the incentive to sing as a duo?
No, not really. We were singing together with the Ventura group, and in fact, the band was quite hot at the time. We had won all the polls, the metronome, downbeat polls, and for small band of the year, and we were getting a lot of attention. And actually, we were foolish to leave so early, but we had planned on getting married, and so we decided to leave the group at that point. And we said, well, let's start our own group, you know. But we would have been smarter, really, to stay with it longer and wait until we built our names a little bit, because people didn't really know us that well yet. But we did leave, we got married, and we formed our own group. We had a group using cello, bass, guitar, piano, and the two voices. And of course, we were still doing the vocalese, singing together. I was doing solos, and Roy was playing piano. And from there, we just kept on going.
When you say vocalese, what do you mean by that?
Well, it's the same, what you'd say, scat singing, vocalese, using your voice as an instrument, no lyric.
I would say the difference between, I mean, this is my version, but the difference between scat and vocalese is that scat is totally improvised, whereas what we do is very often a part of an arrangement, and we've worked it out. It was scat when we did it at home to work it out. We just do things until we find something we want to do that we feel is interesting, and then we, you know, repeat it because it's part of an arrangement.
The only way you can really describe it is that supposing there are two tap dancers, they have to do the same things to make sense. So the same with us. We have to sing the same lines to make sense.
How do you figure out what syllables you're going to use when you're doing vocalese?
We work over it real hard.
you more or less try to simulate the sound of an instrument in a way, because as close as you can with syllables and with a voice. I mean, after all, the voice is the original instrument, you know, and other instruments copy that, I'd say. But we just go over and over it, and like, for example, if there's certain dynamics that you want to use, for example, an accent or something, naturally that would have to be open like doo-wah, you know. And there's certain things that just fall into place using that principle.
Are there any syllables you avoid like the plague because they've been overused or they're too precious?
Not really, no. I don't know.
You do get a little tired of the B's, you know, bee ba boo boo, you know, because that's really one of the few consonants you can use. You can only use a B or a P, or, you know, so there are certain cliches that naturally fall in, but it has to be that way.
Oh,
really.
Yes, there is one.
What?
Scooby Dooby Doo.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, those kind of syllables, you know, sound very pretentious and contrived. You know, we try to make them sound natural, but of course, you can only go so far, you know. But you see, we've never tried to do a lot of vocal improvisation because we always had excellent musicians in our group, great instrumental improvisation. So we felt that it was, you know, boring to do too much vocal stuff. You know, and the voice is limited. You don't push buttons down, and you don't have the technique vocally that you can have on an instrument. You know, so it limits what you can do, and so it gets boring, I think. There's a few good people, don't get me wrong. I admire some people who do it well, but we just never worked on that part of it.
Well, in addition to the vocalese, you also sing a lot of songs.
That's really our forte,
right.
I'd say.
And I want to talk about the kind of material you sing, how you choose it, where you look for it. But before we talk about that, why don't we listen to a selection from an album you did of Stephen Sondheim songs. What led you to Sondheim music?
We were doing special presentations of composers in New York City at a place called Michael's Pub. And he suggested we try Sondheim. We had never done any Sondheim before. I don't know why. We just hadn't. And got into it and went over about 90 songs and picked out the 15 or 16 we were doing and took it from there. And it was very successful, got a lot of attention, stirred up a lot of excitement. And we enjoyed the music very much.
And you met Sondheim while doing this?
Yes, we did. He came in to hear what we were doing, and he was very pleased with it. He was very excited about it. And in fact, he said that we had really treated the music very carefully, and he loved everything. So it was nice. We got to meet him, and he even posed with us for the cover of the album, which was, you know, extremely kind of him. He didn't have to do that. So I guess he was giving us the nod.
Bobby Short said something about him making slight corrections in the words, like he was a real stickler for accuracy, and if you made a word substitution, he'd change it back if he heard. Did he do anything like that with you?
He corrected me on a couple things, yeah. I had made just a couple very, very simple mistakes because we actually are very, very careful and we respect the composer. That's one of the things we try to do, especially on the first time through, you know, the way it was written, sort of, and the lyric, correct. No adding any extra words or anything like that. And he came in to hear us, and I don't know, it was something on Sendin' the Clowns that I had made a mistake on simply because I had learned it wrong. And I was happy he corrected me. But he is a stickler.
Do you remember the word?
I think I said, isn't it cheer instead of isn't it queer, which, I mean, gave it a totally different meaning, which was, you know, it was important. But he is a stickler, and I know why, because his lyrics are excellent. They're very difficult. It's hard to learn them because sometimes they don't tell a sequential story. They're just words you have to just memorize them, you know. and it's tricky.
How did you get to do this song?
How did we get to do it?
In the song is I Do Like You, which is...
Oh, I Do Like You. Yeah. Well, we were into this thing, and we were picking songs here and there, and finally we were communicating quite a bit with Stephen. And he said, listen, I got a song that was taken out of a show, and he says, nobody's ever done it before. And he says, it's a duet. Maybe you can find something to do with it. And I says, great, send it out. He sent a bunch of other things, too. And he said, if you do this one, it'll be a world premiere because no one's ever done the song. So we got it and looked at it, and I said, gee, it's terrific. I love it. But he was surprised that we took it at a slower tempo and made more like, oh, it suggests La Valse to me, the opening of it and the way it developed. And so he liked the treatment, and we loved it. And also it was a world premiere when we presented it.
It's kind of fun to do a new song like that that you've never heard, that's never been done, because he had something totally different in mind as far as tempo. And then when we did it, you know, differently, he was surprised, but he found that he liked it. So it was kind of nice to do that.
Why don't we give it a listen? This is Stephen Sondheim's I Do Like You, performed by Jackie and Roy, who are in Philadelphia to perform this evening at Curtin's.
Friend, good friend and true.
Yes, it's always friend.
I worship you
when you need a friend.
I want to do, want to be like my friend.
Friend, 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 friend.
Do what you must.
That's what I intend.
I'm happy just
goodbye, old friend.
Being a copy of the
to do like you like to do, 'cause I like you. You do a deed, I follow your lead, 'cause I like you. You climb a tree, I climb with you. You give a smile, I smile. You take a journey, I'm with you. Whatever you do, no one is perfect, you have your flaws, but I don't care. I have the flaws that you have because I want to share. You're all the things I most admire, what I aspire to. I do like you because I do like you.
Friend,
and the best you have.
You've touched me so.
Yes, I thought I would.
I didn't know.
No, you never did.
Such deep devotion existed. And friend,
deeper than you think.
I'd rather die.
You don't have to die.
Say goodbye.
I know how you feel.
Friend, just as soon as I get back, I'll rhyme. I like to do like you like to do, that's how I feel. You ruin me and I ruin you, you're my ideal.
We each have had a fling or two, nobody knows but we.
You tell a little thing or two.
I'll tell a thing or three.
You keep a secret, I keep a secret like I should.
You tell a secret, I tell a secret twice as good.
Since you're the model I take after, that's what I have to do.
I have to do like you like, only because I do like you.
Recently,
reciprocation in the end is why a friend is true. How could I ever doubt you, knowing so much about you? I do like you, and still I do.
Jackie and Roy from their album of songs written by Stephen Sondheim. That really is a nice song. I'm glad that you rediscovered it with the help of Sondheim. You know, it's funny, although I love being introduced to new songs, sometimes when you go to a show, you're really hoping that they'll sing your favorites. I wonder if you find your audiences are resistant to hearing new songs, although I'm sure that's what they come to you for.
At one time, we did a lot of new material. And we discover that audiences, unless they are really dyed-in-the-wool fans, want to hear standards. They want to hear songs that they understand. They can evaluate what you've done to the song because they know the song. So they know that, oh, you've changed this, you've done this, you've gone this way with it.
I think, though, that it's nice to present a program of familiar songs as well as unknown songs. That's what we try to do. We try to give them a balance of things that they can really connect with and then maybe throw one in that's new. And I think people like to hear a new song if you don't sort of overburden them with too many all at once, you know, because it's a lot to grasp when you take a whole new song in, you know.
Jack, you started as a singer. Were there songs that really meant a lot to you when you were coming of age?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. There were certain other singers that I heard do, you know, songs that were unfamiliar to me but were very important to me. I remember hearing Billie Holiday sing Strange Fruit and being totally wasted by that. I thought, wow, somebody actually recorded a song like that and it's, you know, it's out there. And, you know, other people like Peggy Lee and Mildred Bailey and people that I heard when I was very, very young just on the radio because I didn't even have a phonograph at that time.
Did you agree on material that you liked when you started singing together?
It seems we're attracted mm-hmm. to the same kind of music. Yeah.
Yeah. We sometimes disagree on slight things, but mostly Roy is very aware of the musical content. I'm, I would say, more aware of the lyric content, although the music is important to me too. And so between us, we kind of fight it out, you know.
Yeah, and I'm bigger.
No, but if either of us really resists, the other usually listens.
Do you have composers sending you songs that they want you to perform?
Yes.
Like who?
Mostly unknown names, although several people, well-known people, will send us a song. Here's one that I haven't had performed, blah, blah, mm-hmm. you know, like this.
Well, it must hurt if there's a good reason why no one's performed it. You know, you don't like the mm-hmm. song, no one else has liked the song. Do you feel like you have a burden? Since it was sent to you, it's like your
well,
obligation
one time
to perform
this, it. This man, I'm not going to give any names. He sent us a song, a new Christmas song. And he said, this is so terrific. I want you guys to do it. We'll finance the album. We'll finance the record, blah, blah, blah. And he said, it's a great song. I said, well, send it to me. I looked at it, and it was just so, it was a dog. It was a real dog Christmas song. And he called me back and he says, what do you think? And I said, well, it would take a lot of rewriting. And he says, what do you mean rewriting? He said, I've had some very important people record that song. And I said, well, it hasn't become a hit. And that was the end of it. We never did it.
All well, we right. get tapes all the time from people everywhere we appear. You know, people send us and bring us tapes. Please listen to this song or, you know, something. And we do. We try to, you know. We try to take them home and give them a shot. You know, there might be something out there because we have discovered people. Not too many, mind you. But, I mean, after all, we did come across Tommy Wolfe and Fran Landesman in St. Louis. Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most. And we were the first to record it. And it has become slowly through the years a standard. Everyone has recorded it now, but we were the first ones to take a chance with it. And sometimes you do find something interesting. So we give it a listen anyway.
Do you find Broadway to be a fertile place to look for songs? The songs that we've heard so far are by Cy Coleman and Stephen Sondheim, who both write for Broadway musicals. But, you know, do you find that there's as much material as maybe there used to be when you started performing that you can find from Broadway?
I don't believe there is that wealth of material any longer. Everything nope. is more compulsive, hit music, where they wanted to go loud and brassy and get the audience's attention and hold the attention. And sometimes the music is, the impact of the music is less important than the music is.
Generally, the quality of music is not there. There is the odd song, and there are some writers around. I think a lot of writers now come from films, you know, like Johnny Mandel writes for films, even Jimmy Van Heusen, who is, you know, a little bit from a while ago, but still, he's written some great songs. He was never on Broadway. Basically, he was a film writer. And, you know, now the quality of the music on Broadway is not that great.
Well, why don't we hear one of the songs that you perform from a composer who doesn't write for Broadway, the late Alec Wilder. And we're going to hear a song that I think has been in your repertoire for years. It's So Peaceful in the Country. Do you want to say anything about Wilder's composing or what attracted you to this song?
Well, we just loved the man. He was a dear friend and got us started at the Blue Angel in New York City. He got us an audition, and we went in there for, weeks and weeks, about 9 weeks. And he's always been in our corner and helped us a great deal. And, of course, wrote beautiful music.
That we didn't do it because he was a friend. We did it because the quality of the music was such that we had to do them. He's written many, many things that we absolutely love, and not to mention the fact that he wrote a lot of chamber music and other music, you know, that's very, very well respected.
Okay, well, this is Jackie and Roy's recording of Alec Wilder's song, It's So Peaceful in the Country, and so it's a beautiful arrangement of this recording. Why don't we listen to it?
The skyline of New York is a splendid sight. I know Chicago's loop is magical at night.
The natives of Cleveland, San Francisco, and Boston,
and natives of cities, a stranger gets lost in. All of them tell you their city's the best, from deep in the south and from out in the west.
Perhaps it's all true, but from my point of view,
it's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. You really ought to try it.
In rain or shine, you're feeling fine. And life is sweet and slow.
It's so restful in the country.
It's the right kind of diet. You really ought to try it.
You lie and dream beside a stream where daisies nod.
Where daisies nod.
Hello,
city. Pretty living, it's so full of unexpected thrills.
But there's too much stone, too much telephone,
and there's too much of everything but trees and hills.
It's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. Someday you're bound to try it. The only place to be, the place for you and me, where it's peaceful in the country.
there's too much stone, too much telephone.
And there's too much of everything but trees and hills. Ooh, it's so peaceful in the country. It's so simple and quiet. Someday you're bound to try it. The only place to be, the place for you and me. Where it's peaceful in the
That was Jackie and Roy from their album East of Suez, and we heard Alec Wilder's song It's So Peaceful in the Country. What a really pretty arrangement of that. Do you write it out beforehand?
Yeah, we work on it, work on the song, figure out how you're going to do it, how you'll approach it, what you'll do with it. Sure, I have to put everything on paper, otherwise you forget some choice thing. And,
mm-hmm. And we have so many songs, you know, by now, after so many years, we have a very large repertoire, so it's hard to keep everything in your mind, you know.
I can't remember lyrics at all.
Huh.
And playing and singing at the same time is difficult anyway, you know, because you've got two things to do. And so Roy has usually music in front of him.
You've been performing together as a duo and married together since 1949. Is it ever tricky to keep personal things off, you know, away from the performance and performance things out of the home when you want to just forget about
music and work for a while? Personal things into the performance. that's the hard part.
Yeah, it's hard at times, but we've had enough experience with it and we've gone through enough changes to learn a lot about it, and we're pretty good now. You know, we're pretty mellow. We get along pretty good, and we still, you know, we are like everyone else, have our arguments, disagreements, but we manage to keep them separated. You know, when we're performing, we're actors, and we try to do our job and keep the personal thing personal.
That was Jackie and Roy, the jazz vocal duo of Jackie Kane and Roy Crowell. I spoke with them last summer before a concert. Let's listen to a couple of records which showcase their individual talents. First, we'll hear Roy Crowell singing Why Try to Change Me Now. Then Jackie Kane will sing Witchcraft. Both of these songs are featured on their album, The Music of Cy Coleman.
I'm sentimental, so I walk in the rain. I've got some habits even I can't explain. I'll start for the corner, end up in Spain. Why try to change me now? I sit and daydream, I've got daydreams galore. Cigarette ashes, there they go on the floor. I'll go away weekends, leave my keys in the door. Why try to change me now? Why can't I be more conventional? People talk, people stare, so I try. But that's not for me, 'cause I can't see my kind of crazy world
passing me by. Let people wonder, let them laugh, let them frown. You know I love you till the moon's upside down. Don't you remember I was always your clown? Why try to change me now? Can't I be more conventional? People talk, people stare, so I try. But that's not for me, 'cause I can't see. My kind of crazy world, you're passing me by. People wonder, let them laugh, let them frown. You know I'll love you till the moon's upside down. Don't you remember I was always your clown? Why try to change me now?
Shades of old Lucretia Borgia, there's a devil in you tonight. And although my heart adores ya, my head says it ain't right. Right to let you make advances, oh no. Under normal circumstances, I'd go. Stare that strips my conscience bare. It's witchcraft, and I've got no defense for it. The heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft, and although it's strictly taboo. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. Thank you. what good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. 'Cause there's no nicer witch than you. Wicked witchcraft.
That was Witchcraft and Why Try to Change Me Now, two selections from the Jackie and Roy album, The Music of Cy Coleman. This is Fresh Air, and you're tuned to WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. We'll hear some more music in about a half hour when Bob Carlin interviews the new wave a cappella group, The Bobs, who performed a few of their songs in our studio. I hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving holiday. Our next guest on Fresh Air is Roy Blunt, Jr. Blunt is a writer whose work appears in major magazines, including Esquire and The New Yorker. He writes fiction, poetry, journalism, criticism, and humor. Roy Blunt, Jr. is from Georgia, but he now lives in Massachusetts. He's written several humor pieces on stereotypes Northerners have of Southerners, which was also the subject of his 1980 book Crackers, which focused on Jimmy Carter and the Carter family. Blunt left the South in 1966 when he became a staff writer for Sports Illustrated, where he stayed for 8 years. Blunt felt confined covering the sports beat, so he left and went on to become a much sought-after freelance writer. A collection of Blunt's recent pieces has been published under the title Not Exactly What I Had in Mind. In the book, Blunt tackles diverse subjects such as the federal deficit, superglue, digital watches, and the trauma of packing for the many trips he makes across the country. Roy Blunt recently spoke with Fresh Air's associate producer, Amy Sallet. He began by reading an excerpt of one of his essays titled How to Raise Your Boy to Play Pro Ball.